I'm a grateful believer in Jesus Christ with victory over an addiction to internet porn. My name is Paul.
Hi, Paul.
So I'm happy to be here tonight to teach a lesson called Admit. And I'm going to ask a question in a minute, like, why are we doing this? Why would we do this? And one of the things that I just heard in the song, which I wrote down, really struck me. This is why we do anything we do, because of His amazing love. I know it's true. It's my honor. It's my joy to honor You. That's why we would do any of this stuff, because I wouldn't do any of this stuff without that, for sure. This is somewhat hard, but anyway, last two Sundays ago, we got to admit our faults in a really big way through cardboard testimonies at Rolling Hills in both services. And it was interesting. Pastor Bill, this last Sunday, a week after that, had commented on how he had seen that live from the hospital bed where his wife, or he wasn't in the hospital bed, but his wife was in the hospital, and she's fine now, but they were brought to tears by that cardboard testimony. And that's a big admission for, you know, from, and it's kind of funny how you can think, you know, you would really worry, if you're new at this, you would really worry about admitting anything to anybody. And certainly not, I mean, for me, internet porn, you know, it's troubling to say that the first time. If it weren't for God, it would be difficult to do. But now we can later stand up and show it on a sign in front of, you know, hundreds of people, maybe 1,000 people, I don't know. So praise the Lord for that growth. So tonight, the lesson is admit. So join me in reading principle 4 and step 5 and the verses. Openly examine and confess my faults to myself, to God, and to someone I trust. And the verse, happy are the pure in heart, Matthew 5:8. And step 5, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. James 5:16. So, principle 1 is to admit to being powerless over our addictions and that our life had become unmanageable. Principle 2 is to believe there's a power greater than ourselves. And then principle 3, we made a decision to turn our lives and our wills over to the care of God. These are all important steps in growth and in our relationship to God. And so now principle 4 asks us to openly examine our faults and to share them. This is a difficult step for many people to do. Why do I have to do that? It seems like we have nothing to gain and everything to lose by sharing our wrongs. I guess that for me, you have to ask yourself, why am I here? Why am I even here in CR? In my own experience, I can think of two reasons. One is to get educated on the process so I can help someone else, since I don't have any personal problems myself. And that's why I actually came here originally, for that very reason. We wanted to find a way to help our daughter with her addictions. And then, of course, we found out that you can't fix somebody else's problem. They need to do that themselves. But the number two reason you would come, besides wanting to learn something or to help other people, is that, in my case, because I have my own habits, my own addictions. we found out that helping others doesn't actually work. And praise God, I realized I needed to work on my own habits. That you need to admit our wrongs to ourselves and to another human being. And then step five, which is even scarier, says the exact nature of our wrongs. That's kind of personal, but that's what we need to do, the exact nature of our wrongs. I shifted from thinking that I could help others to the idea of helping myself when I heard a testimony on pornography, and I knew at that point I needed to share with others and just get on with it. I went that night to Men's Sexual Addictions, a small group, and shared for the first time. I was in my 60s. So I remember thinking, when I leave this room to go to small groups, nobody knows where I'm going. So if I go to the Men's Sexual Addictions group, nobody's going to know that. And that would include my wife. She doesn't know where I go. She goes somewhere else. I didn't know where she was going either. So I think we learned that later. But then that creates a situation where I actually later had to admit this whole thing again to her. Because you can't just cherry pick. You need to really get this on the table to make growth. So what do I have to lose? And you have your little thing here by sharing. Here's what we can lose in the by sharing openly. Number one, we lose our sense of isolation. Our sense of aloneness will begin to vanish. I mean, when you come out and come to a meeting for the first time and you say, I have an addiction to pornography, you're no longer alone because everybody in the room has that problem. And you now have people you can speak with. You are not alone in that. That's true for any of our small groups. Number two, we will begin to lose our unwillingness to forgive. When people accept us as we actually are, then we see that we can forgive others too. Number three, we will lose our inflated false pride. We move toward the humility, toward true humility as we begin to see ourselves as we really are and begin to see God as He really is. And number four, we will lose our sense of denial. It's hard to deny your reality when you've told it to other people. It's on the table. So that's what you have to lose. Actually, those are benefits. So, and here's three more benefits. I think these are on your sheet too. Number one, we gain healing through the Bible's promises. If you look again at the step five verse, we admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, openly examine or confess our faults to myself, to God, and someone I trust, that you may be healed. Clearly, if you don't admit anything, nobody will be praying for you. And clearly, a key here is that you are healed, not forgiven. You don't need forgiveness. If you are a believer in Jesus at the outset, you have been forgiven, and all of our sins are forgiven. If you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, and that's a new thing for you to hear, you can check in with anybody here, myself or anybody else, and we can explain that path separately. But God forgives you when you confess your sins to Him. James 5:16 is the second promise of healing. The second benefit of confessing is that we gain freedom. Our secrets have kept us in chains. bound, frozen, unable to move forward with our relationships with God and with others. Admitting our sin snaps the chains so God's healing can start. Psalm 107:13-14 says, "They cried to the Lord in their troubles, and he rescued them. He led them from the darkness and the shadow of death and snapped their chains." If we don't confess our sin, it will fester. David describes this in Psalm 32:3-4. "For when I kept silent, my bones wasted away through my groaning all day long. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My strength was dried up as by the heat of summer." That's David talking about not confessing. The third thing, benefit we have, is we gain support. When you share your inventory with another person, you get support. That person can keep you focused and give you feedback. Mostly, you need another person just to listen to you, because you got to share this with one other human being as well as God. And so you need that person to listen. So I want to talk a little bit about how you choose someone to share these secrets with. Well, I already named one of them, which was to go to my small group and just put it out there. That's a little bit of a shotgun approach. But if you're going to sit down with somebody and share your thoughts and your sins with them, there's some rules we ought to follow. You want to find the right person to do that, to tell that to. You don't want to tell something to someone who will say, "You did what?" Or, "You shouldn't have done that." You don't need a judge or a jury. We already know we've done wrong. That's why we're coming to share, to admit. Romans 3:23 says, "All have sinned and fallen short." So we're not alone in any of this, whether we admit it or not to each other. And we know that God forgives us from 1 John 1:9. If you confess your sins to God, he's faithful to forgive them. So we need someone just to listen, basically. So here are a couple guidelines for that. Number one, choose someone of the same sex as you, someone you trust and respect. That's kind of a guiding principle of all of our CR stuff. We go to separate men's and women's things. And that's wise if you're going to be confessing sins. Second, number two, to find somebody, ask your sponsor or accountability partner. That presumes you might even actually have a sponsor or an accountability partner. That's something you should address, something you should try to take care of. There's more on that you can find out, but just be sure that when you pick this person that they've already done this step to confess their sins to someone else, because they won't be able feel empathy for you without having been through this themselves. They know how hard it is. They know what you need to do. So just be sure that they've done the step already. It goes much more smoothly if the person knows the process. They will also have empathy for what you're going through. It's basically just healthier that way. Set up an appointment with enough time not to be interrupted. It's probably a good idea not to walk up to dessert time and just tell them your stuff, because they'd rather be eating cake. And so that's going to irritate them and so on. But so pick a good time that's not open to everybody. Find a place that's quiet and uninterrupted. So you finally find this person and you're going to sit down and go over this with them. So you kind of run the meeting like this. Start with prayer. So if you're new to, I want to be really brutally honest. If you don't know how to pray, that's okay. I mean, let them pray. Just try to get a prayer in there. It's pretty simple. Dear God, help me get through this meeting. Give me the courage to share. Help me to be honest. Thank you for allowing Mike to be here to hear this. And thank you for helping me to be honest, for allowing the chains of the past to be snapped by this process. Then together, read the principal four verses, which are on here, and also found on page 25 in Participants Guide 3, if you're in a step study, that's where that comes from. It's called Getting Right with God, Yourself, and Others. So keep your sharing balanced. Include strengths as well as weaknesses. If you dig really deep, you might find something good about yourself. Might be hard to find, or probably you're just being dishonest because we all love ourselves, bottom line. So you got something you can say that's a strength. And then also, the other side of the coin is weaknesses. You've got weaknesses. The biggest one of which is you're about to tell. Prayer is a key to this. The meeting starts and ends with prayer, and that pattern works for life in general. For example, pray going into a difficult situation and pray after, whichever way it went, for God to have been there. So I got a few minutes left. A quick, brief testimony. It took me a long time to get this on the table. I was over 60 years old when I finally went into that room and said what I said, that I'm addicted to pornography. And I've been involved with that since I was in junior high, before the internet. And things got worse after that. And so it was an escalating problem in my life for many, many years. And nobody knew about it but me until that night. So that was key. And I started praying about that time, actually to the Holy Spirit. I discovered in reading the Word that one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. And it kind of blew me away to realize that self-control has absolutely nothing to do with me. It has to do with the Holy Spirit. And so I started praying at that point to the Holy Spirit and to God, send self-control to me in such a way that when I see it happen, I'll be surprised. Because I know I don't have any, and I'd like to see some, and you promised it to me. So that's how I started praying every day for self-control. And God answered that prayer. And I remember going to my small group and saying, I'm going to start today. I took a blue chip. If you know what that is, it's like I'm starting over, or it's your first night here. You take a blue chip. I'm committed to doing something. So I said, I'm going to do this, and here's the reason I'm going to do it. And I told them that what it meant, you know, what I wasn't going to do, what I was going to do, and laid it out, one of their prayers. And then each week I would come back. It's been 7 days, been 14 days. 21 days, and time just kept growing and growing and growing. I was not relapse free, but a long time went by before I relapsed. And even then, it was a small time that I did that. So all this stuff really works. It starts out when we admit it to people. admit it to God. We're nervous about doing it, but we know also that God cares for us. He promised in 1 Peter 5:7 that we could cast all our anxiety upon Him and He would care for us. I thank God for that promise. So let's end in prayer. God, thank you for the opportunity that you give each and every person in this room to share and admit their own shortfalls, their own things that are going on in their life that they want to stop. And we know that you can help them do that. You can send your Spirit to us in the form of self-control when we ask. So just be with everybody as we continue this process. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.